ever wondered about those states and local areas that seem to have consistently high coverage levels? New vaccines come along, they still have high coverage levels. What's up with that? That's what we wanted to know. What is it about those programs that makes that possible? Well, last year, in an effort to find that out, two colleagues and I visited 10 programs that had the highest sustained coverage levels for 43133 series, measured by the NIS, from 2000 to 2005, to see what we could learn about their successes. And while I'm going to show you a number of common themes, there is no magic. And if I had to sum it up in two words, those two words would be data and people. And I'm trying to advance the slides. Well, I don't have a page now, and I have a mouse. Oh, there we go. Yes, thank you, Jeannie. I may need you again in just a minute. The states we visited are not all small states. They're not all universal purchase states. Are there characteristics of these programs that might account for the gap between the states with the consistently high coverage levels and the states with lower coverage levels? Are there common elements among these programs that might be useful to other programs working to improve coverage? That's what we wanted to find out. There we go. Oops, that's not right. Okay, I think I've got the mouse figured out now. All right then. So to get us started, the assessment branch reviewed NIS data for us from 2000 to 2005 and identified 10 programs that had the highest sustained coverage levels during that period. And two colleagues, Vicki Evans from the Education Information and Partnership Branch and Allison Kennedy from the Health Services Research and Evaluation Branch, and I developed two questionnaires. One was for the program manager and other key staff in each program, and the other was for the key partners that that program identified. And we interviewed each person individually. The goal was to not have one person's responses influence another person's. And we auto-taped each interview so that we'd have an accurate record for a manuscript that we hope to have published. So this map shows the programs that we visited, and with one exception, and that would be Jefferson County, Alabama, which includes Birmingham. These states are clustered into two distinct geographic areas of the United States, the Northeast and the Upper Midwest. And all I can say about that is, that was very interesting to us, but we didn't find out anything from our visits that helped explain that. Well, what did we find? There are common elements among these programs, but those elements are not unique to these programs, and there are some lessons that we can learn. Remember that I mentioned the two key words, people and data. Everything on this slide has to do with people. Leadership may mean at the program manager level or at any of the levels above that, but support from leadership was mentioned in every program that we visited. Every program relies on partnerships. Physician champions in the community, coalitions, other programs within the health department, and those folks help with communication, with reaching vulnerable populations, and with education. Every program identified provider education as a key element in their success, and they all identified appropriate implementation of AFIX as a strategy that led to their high coverage. In every case, it was easy to see the enthusiasm and the passion that each individual we interviewed brought to their work, clearly a people factor. And we also heard consistently about the importance of building relationships with partners and stakeholders that lead to that trust that's needed to work effectively together. Good relationships between the state and local health departments and among the program staff was also a common theme. The themes on this slide have largely to do with data, but they have a people component as well. In Wisconsin, there was not a single person we interviewed who did not mention the importance of that state's registry. It's clear that the IIS in that state is a crucial tool for both providers and the program staff. Everyone talked about keeping the importance of immunization visible, and while this doesn't always involve data, it can involve data, and it's one more way to use data. Vaccine safety is both a people and a data issue. There are data to support the benefits and safety of vaccines, but as important is how the concern is heard and how the information about vaccine safety is communicated. Vaccine safety concerns were raised as an issue in each of our visits, and yet parental concerns do not seem to have negatively affected coverage levels in these 10 programs. Each of these programs devoted energy and to communication and education about vaccine safety, and this is another area where their partners help. This and the next several slides show some of the responses from individual programs so that you can follow up with these programs if you want to. And we're also happy to direct you to any of the programs we've visited for more specific information about them. And you will see consistency in the responses among these programs. I have to tell you that in North Dakota, we weren't able to meet with the health officer during our visit, and so we followed up with a telephone interview, and this slide says that they describe him as a go-getter, and they weren't kidding. Dr. Terry Dwelly is the health officer in North Dakota, and he just dazzled us. I'm really sorry we didn't get to meet him in person. Partnerships was another element that I've mentioned previously, but it did come up on every single visit and is clearly something that all of these programs rely on, key partnerships. In Connecticut, one of their key partners is a woman who works with the Connecticut Commission on Children, and she places a really strong emphasis on outreach. She's a connector. She puts people in touch with other people who can make a difference and can help. She's been with this commission for 14 years, and she has a huge network. She's clearly the right person for this job. She's creative, she's committed, she's hugely enthusiastic about what she does, and she puts all that to work in everything she does. She convenes groups of community leaders and asks each of them to think individually about what they can do to make a difference in terms of protecting children and promoting immunization, and they act on that. We wanted to recruit her. In Minnesota, we got to listen in on a regular call that takes place between the state immunization program staff and local health department immunization staff. Clearly, they see themselves as partners, and the state works hard to foster those relationships. We've been talking about the importance of partnerships for years in immunization programs, and the programs we visited are evidence of that value. We saw examples on every visit, and these programs felt strongly that they couldn't be as successful as they are without the partnerships that they've established. We know everyone is working on provider education, but we like the idea we heard in Connecticut, and they try to make sure that everything they send to providers is something that is both so important and so compelling that they won't throw it away. And the other thing they think about is everybody in the provider office, so that each of those people in the office knows what they need to do to help the immunization process along. All of the staff in the Massachusetts program participate in the AFIX process from time to time, so they're all exposed to the kinds of issues that are identified when you're in a provider office, the positive and the negative, and they learn from that and then can apply those kinds of lessons to the other work that really applies throughout the immunization program. We got to sit across the table from a lot of people on these visits. And without exception, as they were answering our questions, I could look at them and see the enthusiasm and the commitment and the passion that they bring to their jobs. And it was easy to translate that just came across in their interviews to the work that they do. And clearly, that's not the kind of thing that can just be replicated somewhere else. But we need to look for that, look for people's strengths, foster that kind of approach to work, and capitalize on it when we have it. Jefferson County, Alabama was the only local health department on our list of 10 programs. Because the program staff there are members of the community they serve, they're in a good position to identify stakeholders and bring people together. They can build on their existing relationships, and they've done that. So much of what we heard had to do with relationships. Relationships among the staff in the immunization program, really good working relationships there, relationships between the state and local health department programs, relationships with partners, relationship with providers. The programs we visited all had built and nurtured relationships that were mutually beneficial and that they credited with their success. People, trust, relationships, partners. It's all related. One of the people we met with talked about it being a web. And that seemed really appropriate, especially when I was looking at, I can't remember if it was David Fleming's slide yesterday with the web, but I wished I'd had that slide because it's both all the connections, but it's also the stickiness of a web. that kind of keeps everybody together and engaged. This slide and the next one provide examples of ways that these programs use their immunization information system. And not every state we visited has an IIS, but the majority of them do. Connecticut's IEP coordinators use the IIS to identify which children are missing immunizations, and they follow up with the provider. And they follow up until those children who are missing immunizations are no longer missing immunizations. And Nebraska uses its registry as the medical record in its public clinic and uses it for reminder recall. As I mentioned earlier, every person in Wisconsin, program staff and partners, mentioned the importance of the WIR, the Wisconsin Immunization Registry, in what they do and the immunization successes in that state. In Wisconsin, we met with staff from a large health system with providers and hospitals throughout the state. This system identified immunization as one of the quality markers that it wanted to follow. And it required all of its providers to use the Wisconsin Registry to assess each child at every visit, regardless of the reason for the visit. And they also download vaccine administration data into the registry. The rates for immunization within this system are now over 90%, up from 58% in 2000 when they started their immunization initiative. All the programs we visited find ways to keep their programs visible, both to the public and to the providers. They make a point of looking for opportunities to just keep immunization at the forefront. The value of reminder recall was demonstrated some time ago, and like other consistent elements here, success in these programs we visited seems to be a function of the basics, things that we've been talking about for a while. Nothing spectacularly new, but really using the basic elements of immunization programs, implementing them with consistency, with seriousness, and just using those tools that we know works. We were especially impressed with the Spirit Lake Reservation in North Dakota. They use reminder recall to identify children who are not up to date, and then they send a car to bring them into the clinic to get their vaccinations. One of the physicians we met with in Jefferson County talks with parents who have concerns about vaccines, but more importantly, he listens to them. He listens to find out what is exactly their concern. Then he talks them a little bit about that, gives them some things to read and to think about, and says, let's talk about this some more when you come back the next time. And it takes him a little bit longer to get his patients immunized, but typically they do get immunized because he takes that time to listen, make sure he understands what it is they're concerned about, and addresses that specific concern. In Iowa, we talked with a pediatrician in a very large group practice that's dispersed over a large area of the state. And he's taken it upon himself to make sure that his colleagues have accurate information about vaccine safety. And anytime something appears in the media that might raise a concern for his colleagues or sort of puts immunization safety out in the forefront again, he emails people the next morning with whatever updates we've provided or accurate information that he knows will help them understand those stories in the appropriate context. When we visited the Minnesota program, we learned that the nursing staff there takes a similar approach to the physician in Jefferson County. They listen very carefully to what the parent may be questioning about immunization. And after hearing that specific concern, they're able to respond in a way that helps that parent often resolve those concerns that they have. The take-home messages are, think about the data you have. How do you use it? And how could you use it? Think about the people you work with and the ways you can capitalize on existing strengths and relationships and foster new ones. There is no magic to having high immunization coverage levels. It's hard work, it's there every day, but it's possible, and these 10 programs gave us clues to how it can be done. It's our hope that publishing what we learned from these programs will generate support for the application of these lessons learned in other state and local programs. And I'd like to thank my colleagues Vicki Evans and Allison Kennedy, as well as all the program managers and their staff and the partners that we met with on these visits. They were wonderful visits and such a great insight into how things work and how, while no two programs are the same, there certainly are consistencies in the way that successful programs approach the work. Thank you.